I'll begin by saying that there is a Celtic holiday this weekend, Samhain or Samhain. It's one of the four so-called quarter days of the Celtic year. The Celtic year, they imagine the year as a circle with a light half or a yang half and then a dark half or a yin half. And Samhain is one of the seams, one of the places where the place where the light crosses into the dark. And so it's seen in the Celtic way of thinking that this is when we cross into the dark part of the year. This is when the year, as it were, switches over from a yang energy to a yin energy. And it's said that on this day and on Beltane, the opposite, the crossing from dark into light, they like to say in Ireland, the veil is thin between the two worlds. You know, the wee people are about that kind of thing. And so this was an ancient Celtic holiday. And then when Christianity arrived, this ancient Celtic holiday originally was on a lunar calendar, but then it became fixed at the October 31st and November 1st. The Celtic day, like the Jewish day, begins at sundown. And so it's the night and then the following day. So the Christian holiday of All Saints' Day on November 1st arrived in Ireland. And in the mix of Celtic Christianity, they saw this kind of similarity between, you know, the wee people coming out at Samhain and All Saints Day. And it gave rise to the modern holiday of Halloween, which originated in Ireland and then spread to America. And so thinking about the imagery of Samhain and crossing to the dark point of the year, I wanted to talk about facing the unknown, which seems like an appropriate topic for crossing into the dark time of the year. And it also seems appropriate because we're facing a lot of unknown right now. You know, we're in a nation that is moving toward an election, and we don't know how that's going to turn out. We're in the COVID period, and we have no idea, you know, what resolution this will have, when, you know, how long. There's a lot of unknown. And so I wanted to talk about facing the unknown. The head doesn't like unknown too much. And often people say that they are unsettled or uncomfortable with uncertainty. And a lot of this comes from wanting to control. And it's funny, the head will use all kinds of strategies to control. But control ultimately is rooted in the second chakra. The second chakra is about flow. It's about can we move with the unpredictable flow of vitality? And when we resist that flow, when we lock up in fear, that's when the unpredictability or the uncontrollability of life becomes triggering for us. It's very useful to think about, what do we really know? What do we not know? We certainly know the past, like that, you know, that a lot about the past is reasonably certain. But there's very little about the future that we know. It's interesting. It's one of the things that I only studied Chinese for a short time, but there's so much in the Chinese language that is just mind-blowing. In America or in English, when we talk about the past and future spatially, we say, you know, we talk about the future. I'm looking ahead to something. That's coming up for me, you know. The future is out here. And when we talk about the past, oh, I'm glad that's behind me, you know. The past is here. In Chinese, the past is here because you see it. The future is here because you don't see it. And so front day is 2 days ago, and back day is 2 days from now. You know, it's just a completely different way of thinking about it. We tend to think that a lot of what we want to take for granted in life is permanent. We like to think that our environment is permanent, our bodies are permanent, the people we care about are permanent. And of course, this flies in the face of the Buddhist teaching, this fundamental teaching of impermanence, of not knowing, not being able to control. And I remember at one point someone pointed out to me that one way to frame impermanence is to think of it as flow. All things are impermanent, all things are in flow. You know, it's an interesting way to think about it. You know, and so, how can I say? One advantage of being more comfortable, more open to and more comfortable with the unknown is that it puts us more in touch with the truth of impermanence, with the fundamental unpredictability and vulnerability of life itself. I think another way to think about it also is with people, you know, say the people we know well. The mind is very quick to establish patterns, and you know, the human brain is really the best pattern matching machine in the world, and we create all these patterns, and this person is this kind of person, and we come to rely and expect them to be that kind of person, you know. And I actually want to read at this point a quote from T.S. Eliot. There is, it seems to us at best, only a limited knowledge, only a limited value in the knowledge derived from experience. The knowledge imposes a pattern and falsifies, for the pattern is new in every moment, and every moment is a new and shocking valuation of all we have been. We are only undeceived of that which, deceiving, could no longer harm. That's a complicated quote. I'll read it again. There is, it seems to us at best, only a limited value in the knowledge derived from experience. The knowledge imposes a pattern and falsifies, for the pattern is new in every moment, and every moment is a new and shocking valuation of all we have been. We are only undeceived of that which, deceiving, could no longer harm. So there's a lot there. But it points to this idea of, you know, just because any pattern in my life has always been a certain way up until this point in my life, why should I think that it's not going to change? Why am I going to think that the patterns that I've become familiar with are the way that the world has to be? And again, with people, the people, especially the people I know, the people I care deeply about, the people who are very much part of my life, am I allowing for the unknown in them? Am I allowing myself to meet the stranger in them? Am I giving them room so that something new can emerge from them? Something that would be surprising to me, maybe even surprising to them, you know? And for that matter, do I give that kind of room to myself? You know, what is my relationship to the unknown within me? Do I create any allowance at all for the unknown in me, you know? You know, what is the relationship to the stranger deep within me? That kind of thing. Jung talked about the unknown quite a bit, and he said, he viewed it much in the same way as the physical blind spot. We all have a blind spot in our vision. It's just a part of the natural structure of the eye. And apparently, you know, we don't walk around with an actual missing place in our visual field. What the mind cleverly does is whatever the pattern is, it kind of fills in the pattern. And so we're not aware of the blind spot. And something similar, Jung said, goes on with the psyche. When we look out to the future, maybe there are a few things that we do know, but then for all the unknown, we project the unconscious. And so, you know, when I find myself having elaborate stories about how some future thing is going to play out, you know, this future conversation, this future event, oh, it's going to be exactly like this, let me, you know. That's often a clue to the stories that I'm carrying in my unconscious. You know, and it's almost like you see yourself, you get a rare glimpse of your inner workings when you start to look at what you're projecting into the unknown in the world. Now, part of what is unknown is mystery, the mystery of life. I think the word mystery is really a word that needs to be rescued because we associate it with mystery novels. You know, a mystery novel, that's when, you know, there's something hidden and then you have to figure out the hidden thing by logic and then you find out the hidden thing and the mystery is solved. And that's not the nature of a religious mystery. I mean, Christianity talks about the mystery of the Trinity or the mystery of the incarnation. You know, these aren't brain teasers. They're things that, of their essence, transcend our ability to comprehend. And even though the word isn't used in the same way, Buddhism has similar ideas. The idea that nirvana is not something that my strategic mind can wrap itself around, you know. Part of being open to the unknown is just being present to the mystery of everyday life. You know, the Zen people were really in touch with this stuff, you know. What is the mysterious quality of life that comes with washing the dishes, with sweeping the floor, with doing the most mundane, ordinary tasks? What is the mystery in the people that we know? What is the mystery in ourselves? All of us have more strength, more wisdom, and more power than we can possibly imagine. It's not necessarily stuff that ego gets access to, you know. But there's tremendous potential in all of us, and a lot of it is unknown. And by its very nature, it is not knowable from the ego point of view. And of course, there's this paradox. It's similar to the paradox that, you know, I'd really love some way to be able to feel all the pleasurable things in life, but not to feel the painful things, you know, like there's some sort of strategic way I could work that out. And of course, the first noble truth of Buddhism tells us that's not possible at all. The only choice I have really is to feel everything or to be numb to everything. You know, feel in everything intensely or not feeling it at all. And much in the same way, opening to mystery. There's a lot of scary and unsettling stuff about opening to the unknown. But then there's tremendously wonderful things about opening to the unknown. But we don't get to... it's not like when you open to the unknown, you only get to open to the good stuff. That kind of thing. It's... life has more beauty and more terror than we can possibly imagine. And it's just the nature of life itself. So I will share the quote sheet at this point. I have the T.S. Eliot quote at the top there. Kierkegaard tells us, life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forward. A couple from Carl Jung. We must be able to let things happen in the psyche. For us, this is actually an art of which few people know anything. Consciousness is forever interfering, helping, correcting, negating, and never leaving the simple growth of the psychic processes in peace. It would be simple enough if only simplicity were not the most difficult of all things.
Mike, I think you put the wrong link in the chat.
Oh, did I put the wrong link in the chat?
Yeah.
Oh. I put a Zoom link in there. Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Let's copy this.
Thank you, Sam Utah.
There we go. That looks like a Google Doc link. Too many links. Oh my, will we ever have be in real life personhood again? Who knows? Anyway. So I'll read that first one from Carl Jung again. We must be able to let things happen in the psyche. For us, this is actually an art of which few people know anything. Consciousness forever interfering, helping, correcting, negating, and never leaving the simple growth of psychic processes in peace. It would be simple enough if only simplicity were not the most difficult of all things. He also said, your visions will become clear only when you can look into your heart. Whoever looks outside dreams, who looks inside awakes. Antoine Saint-Exupéry, the author of The Little Prince, says, every single event can waken within us a stranger totally unknown to us. To live is to be born slowly. Gregory Bateson said quite simply, we live in our description of reality. I love that. Then suddenly our description changes and our whole world changes, you know. René Dormel says, each time the dawn appears, the mystery is there in its entirety. Camus said, real generosity toward the future lies in giving all to the present. The poet Zimborska says, when I pronounce the word future, the first syllable already belongs to the past. When I pronounce the word silence, I destroy it. And Dillard says, quite simply, our life is a faint tracing on the surface of mystery. And Lamott says, I do not understand the mystery of grace, only that it meets us where we are, but does not leave us where it found us. Mark Halpern says, don't worry about things you simply cannot know. Let them fall back and recede like the foam pushed aside by the flanks of a ship. Leave them behind and let your heart power on. Pema Chodron says, letting there be room for not knowing is the most important of all things. When there's a big disappointment, we don't know if that's the end of the story. It may just be the beginning of a great adventure. Life is like that. We don't know anything. We call something bad, we call it good, but really, we just don't know. Esmeralda Santiago says, how can you know what you're capable of if you don't embrace the unknown? Terry Hayes says, the world doesn't change in front of your eyes. It changes behind your back. So true. Luis Bernays says, remember that fear causes to happen the very thing it fears. That's why fear should be unknown to us. Cornelia Funk says, nothing is more frightening than a fear you cannot name. Rick Riordan says, knowing too much of your future is never a good thing. John Green says, you spend your whole life stuck in the labyrinth, thinking about how one day you'll escape one day and how awesome it will be, and imagining the future that keeps you going, but you never do it. You just use the future to escape the present. The Ganon writer, Ernest Yegaba, says, uncertainties in life are so uncertain for us to determine the kind of woe we shall be entangled in the next future. When you stay dormant, your life is a risk. When you dare to take a step, you take a step to take a risk. We have a choice. Yes, a choice to choose to dare to get our real reason on earth, or a choice to live in mediocrity and conformity. But we ought to note that it is riskier to risk nothing when the life we live is already at risk. Dr. Debashish Mitra says, life is a daring adventure toward an unknown future. Its beauty depends on how much you enjoy the journey. And Roy Bennett says, do not let the memories of your past limit the potential of your future. There are no limits to what you can achieve on your journey through life, except in your mind.